Good morning, Chair. My name is Christina Zulofeno, and I work from the National Department of Social Development. my name is Vivian Sotuario, community coordinator, then in commission on community development.
I'm Paula Fardo from the Children's Institute of UCC.
Morning, I'm Paula Fardo from the Children's Institute of UCC.
You know, this is the way to use one of the supervisors.
Yes. Hi, I'm Paula Fardo from the Children's Institute of UCC.
Good morning, I'm Paula Fardo from the Children's Institute of UCC.
I'm Diamond Joseph from the Faith Office.
I'm calling all of you because my name is Kevin Sandler. I'm from Parliamentary Communication Services.
My name is Joseph from the Faith Office.
Good morning, my name is Leon Summer. I'm from the Tiger Children's Institute.
Good morning, I'm Camilla Kennedy, Director of the Commons.
My name is Kumi Dama Bakong, I'm from the Provincial Parliament, Director of the Commons.
And I'm Teresa Levania, the Father, the Content Advisor for the Commons.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you see now we have established within the meeting and we have identified that we've got a nice variety of stakeholders that are here that ensure that the children's issues that we need, but we have to establish a relationship between those stakeholders and the committee, the future proposals, so that we can share information, knowledge, and issues that relate to children and other matters that are important for all of us. At this stage, we are welcome to you. Thanks for coming. I'll turn over to you to look at the subject that we will be covering in the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will be presenting this morning progress on the implementation of the Children's Act number 38 of 2005 as amended. And in the course of this presentation, we will also highlight issues relating to the various provisions of the Act, the Principal Act that was first passed, and the Amendment Act, which now completes the comprehensive legislation. And we'll also touch on processes relating to the finalization of the regulations to come up under that act. And in the course of it, we'll also give you a sense of the state of readiness for various states, including provinces, in respect of the implementation of the act. So Dr. Nabetua will give us a detailed presentation on the Children's Act, and Mr. Vassello will comment more intelligently on processes relating to the finalization of the regulation. Dr. Nabetua will give us a separate presentation.
Thank you very much,
Honorable
Chair. I'm going to do a full overview of the process in terms of the finalization of the implementation of the legislation. That's the overview of the student citizen video for the new question that I'll just go through into the presentation. The process that with regard to development of the certification started in 1997 when the new country was requested the South African Law Reform Commission to review the
The first chapter basis in participating object application. Second touchdown is principal, and then the third touchdown is parent service for the basis and life. The first touchdown is court. The department of justice is totally responsible for that fact that even now, there is no regulation for it. Partial care is to be protection of children, children, and for prevention. All the sections that are involved are the sections that are implemented by the public. And the MECs are responsible for, together with the HCG, responsible for the implementation of the sections of the The chapter 9 is learning with a parent protection, parent contribution order, alternate care for center, child education center, self-protection center. 15 is adoption. In Takanta, adoption is a new provision altogether in our legislation because of the cost of the foreigners in the process of adoption to the nation. We didn't really have a proper law to regulate. Those are 17 is also in this chapter, child adoption, 18 is a more chapter, surrogate mother is also new. Then we have chapter 20 and 21 and 22, and 14 is the SM Then the regulation, the Department of Social Development in DC, who drafted the regulation for the child by the X. The draft regulations were finalized and approved by the Select Committee on Social Services and the National Council of Provinces this year in March, just before the election. The Act requires the Minister of Social Development to consult with other ministers. So the draft regulations were submitted to the respective ministers after we had finalized them. And we also submitted to the state law advisor to be given to decide the Wednesday review on the 10th of February 2009. And we've also got proposals from the Department of Social Services and Health and the police and the state law advisor. So, thank you for the question. The Children's Act, as amended, has been fully processed. It needs to go on screen. They have 18 months to process the Children's Act. And the relevant department is also involved in this process. So we are fully, as a department, we are fully aware of the full cost of implementing this legislation and the resources that are required. The costing also reveals that the act takes additional responsibilities on the state to extend and encourage the development of waste and range of new services, including partial care, prevention and early intervention services. Prevention and early intervention is new. We have always taken started to register in certain services when the child was already in trouble or the child was already, either abused or needed. It's based intervention, but the new act provision for prevention and early intervention means that we have to resource those services so that very few children, require certain food-certified services. Child oriented centers, doctor centers, all these are the new services in the act to be resourced. I think overall the Children's Act extends the responsibility of the state and regulate a wide range of services than those that are covered in the Act. And they also new obligations for the other departments such as the police, Department of Health, Department of Justice, Constitutional Development, Department of Education, and the of local government. The And the Tesla, I think through the posting, we realized that there was also a Tesla with regards to current services. For example, for current services, we need to provide new programs. For example, in our security facilities, reform schools, we need social development, needs to take over the responsibility of managing reform schools. So those are the new, and then we need to ensure that each family can center there is a specific type of service. And then for backlogs also in foster care. Foster care comes with new provisions such as cluster foster care and the placement of children in community care. And as a result, we've seen a rise in the increasing number of children in community care. That's why at the moment we're almost nearly 475,000 children in foster care. The expansion of PPD, which is a part of government, prioritized programs with the most to ensure that each child between the age of 0 to 4 has access to some form of a PPD program. And it separated the ECD program from the building, from the infrastructure itself. The infrastructure has to be separated in this part, and the ECD program also to be implemented in this part. So these are the new things that are coming in the community. We've got backlogs in the registration of all types of housing, care centers, working centers, social care. And the disparity in funding of child protection organizations is something that is very worrying, because more than 50% of our services in this country are delivered by the NGOs. And as a currently the department is looking at the way in which we can, decrease these disparities by providing more funding to the NGOs. We are taking to surgery, and we hope that we get a positive from the NGOs. The act in itself requires different sectors to work together. As a result, the Intersectional Committee on the Children's Bill was established during the process of drafting the bill. And the two committees, the Portfolio Committee and the Children's Committee that we worked with during the time, requested that these different departments also present associations when the expression is in the sector. So these are the Department of Health, Education, Human Affairs, Correctional Services, and the ORC that we have seen in the community, Treasury, Justice, Tax. We also had another proposal from UNICEF. We involved foreign affairs and the security. As a result, they move forward. As a result of that, there was a need to develop a much broader child care protection forum, which we developed last year in November. And that forum has its first conference on the readiness of instrument for children in July 2008. The forum is made up of all the relevant departments that we work together. And the NGO sector and the universities and the researchers are also part of that forum, so that we can take all sorts of issues relating to the protection of the children in South Africa and the implementation of the community legislation. We in readiness to implement the legislation, so that we can use to develop a monitoring and evaluation system. That system has been developed. And when we implement the legislation, we will also be implementing humanitarian and evaluation framework. The training, with regards to training, we have developed the training manual, and there are in safety. We have phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. Phase one is orientation and orientation training. That's a training that can be given to anyone who has interested in knowing about the legislation. It's quite basic. And then it's the phase actually uses money for teaching us to switch our lessons and how the teacher can be processed and other processes to be delivered in the system. And then we've got advanced things, training with really more focus on specific areas. For example, those who want to specialize in adoption for self-care or generally or holistic care, child abuse and neglect, we get this type of training. Stage 1 and stage 2 are completed, and the provinces can start rolling them out in their own provinces, and other stakeholders who are interested in getting standards and get training on those stages. We're expecting that social development will be initially involved in the initial stages, but later the provinces can get their own service providers or their own officials to train other officials on these two stages. The national policy framework and the strategy, with the assistance from USAID, we have developed a national policy framework for the act, which is required by the officials in question qualified of the insurance act 2005. It requires that we work together and have a strategy to work together. And that policy framework we hope on the day we need to IT command agency is also be ready because it will guide us on how we implement the situation. The communication material we started with communication effective started as early as 2007 with communication through the media, print media, radio. But at the moment what we've done is we've developed a training GDP. That will be the information we are really making for artificial communication so that you understand the content of the education information. It's really animated, so it's easier to understand. And then UNICEF is also sponsoring free health friendly, low literacy booklets for children. But those booklets can also be used by adults, basic understanding of the children's adequate sex. Okay. And long-term standards and practice guidelines. We also are developing long-term standards. The regulations contain the long-term standards, but they are not enough. They have the long-term standards, but we need really to go lower. Like, first I say, what are the real long-term standards? Not use only the high-level long-term standards for those specific areas. So we're developing these long-term standards and the practice guidelines to implement the children's actions because that by making can be completed. The current training guidelines will provide for the SF guidelines to implement the legislation. If the legislation is implemented before we have finalized these guidelines. The way forward really is that we need to finalize the regulation by which content for the exercise to talk about going up currently. The promulgation of the act by the president once it's finalized with the regulations. I think the date is also to be set. We will be informed by how far we are with the regulations and how far it's just to these regulations. And the 2 minutes that to prepare on the day in which we should come against the end. The implementation time, this has been really some time, and in the last two weeks, we've been going to the provinces, rounding them up, and then taking them individually on their readiness. And I must say, from the legal things, most of the provinces are ready, almost over 60%. But the major base, major samples that we see in the software. Because we run facilities, we don't specialize. Work is done generically by all social workers. The act requires a specialization, and provinces do not have senior resources for specialization. From even, there are only 3 provinces that are appointed directors for children at provincial level. At district level, you find that there will only be an assistant supervisor manager at the level 10 to everybody else is just doing everything together, working with all the participants, disability, victim empowerment, all in one, and to implement this education as well. We think that that is not sufficient. I think if that's the next meeting, it could be someone with regard to that to advocate for proper training for this education at the provincial level. Training, we will start the training. We have started already at meeting, but the provincial services and if we started the training of the officials to be regularly on the test. The communication strategy will also be ready on the community, the active channels to communicate. And we are busy also during this period when we've been interacting with the provinces, we've been making them aware that they also need to develop their own communication material in the language that people understand between the specific problems. Participant guidelines and non-profit standards are just included in the next year. The MNE is almost ready. We will be ready when the act is promulgated. The national policy framework will also be ready. But the strategy, we need to develop strategies for almost every chapter. For example, for the partial care, the strategy which is required, each province in the strategy, and they need to be happening on those services. And in their implementation plan, the strategy may be provision on when we may have this strategy, when we may have this database, so that there's a plan. If they don't have it now, they might at least say by next year, they will have a database on all our ECD sites for all patients or all children. And the strategy, there also some services have already started to be in those places. In conclusion, I've looked at that last time to say the successful implementation of this act relies on cooperation and coordination between different stakeholders and professionals, and it's yourself to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll briefly outline the process that has unfolded in the last 3 weeks. We have to sit down and look at all the input from all the stakeholders which were already incorporated in the draft regulation. The view was really to ensure that the provisions which are in the regulations are in line with the act. And what we found was that when there were certain provisions which were in the regulation which should not have been there, and we were able to take them out without affecting the original intent of the regulation, but we ensure that they are in line with the act. That process has been finalized, and we think by the end of this month, we should have, as a department, done all that was expected of us, and then send the regulation to National Trade for their concurrence. What we need to do currently is to look at, because there were quite a number of things that we took out and in the process of different sections of the regulation change. Before the end of this month, we look at the cross-references, because there was quite a substantial change in terms of the sections, and there were instances where you refer to a non-existent provision, now that they've been taken out. But by the end of this month, in the final process, the department will then submit the regulation to the National Trainer for the concurrence. From that moment onwards, we should then be able to promulgate both the act and the regulation for implementation. Thank you. I would not be able to say when exactly. Okay. In the process of going through the regulation, we realized that there were things in the regulation which were not in the act. And in our view, there was an intention to have them incorporated in the act, and we noted them down. And we then said, once we have promulgated the act and the act has been effective, the act is in operation, we then start the process of amending the act to incorporate certain things which were included in the regulations but are not in the act, so that we can then, at that moment, after the act has been amended, then amend the regulations accordingly to give effect to certain things which were included in the regulations. Thank you. allow the members of the committee that are here, and including the, our visitors from the legislature, to give a presentation, but only on clarification questions, because I don't want to allow make suggestions. I don't want to see us a situation where we'll be opening up the new public hearing here in the town, in the committee. The intention of the committee is not to do that. Clarification questions and suggestions and take an advantage that the act is not yet from adults, isn't it? Are we still allowed to make suggestions? No. Okay. Okay, they will come later, or maybe in the regulations, isn't it? Yeah.
Expansion of SCC, backlog in registration children's homes, backlog in the number of beds required in children's homes. Are there any plans in terms of ensuring that in provinces they have plans of timeline of addressing this backlog. There is a way forward. There was before the way forward, the longer status. Practice guidelines. We talk of the last part one bullet that there are some norms and standards available, however, some are not in line with the Act. And the last one says that norms and standards in the regulations. Does it suggest that you have responded to the misalignment in the regulations? Lastly, on way forward, you talk of the promotion of the local adoption, but also you have talked about the training of the medic awareness, training of provinces, training of whatever stakeholders. Do we need promotion of local adoption? National Act, and we do the awareness, and we do the training of the practitioners and whatever. What exactly is meant by promotion of local adoption?
Yes, sir.
I think there are other things that are happening on the issue of backlog. But I must perhaps just check as to whether in this area that the government has any plan in place to the backlog. And my second civil rights question, Honorable Chair, in relation to the disparity funding of child protection organizations and non-state children. I just want to check why was the disparity and that the disparity as we speak was to be now continue, and what are the plans of the department to deal with this?
country because unless they are, you know, strong business of this country. And I also want to share or to know what are the 90 children. The first question is in relation to the health care and social forum. Whether in this forum effective that this, you know, bring fruit in what the department is intending to do. That this brings it around to the next month, this forum. And I just want to say that this forum is only based at national level. It's also at provincial level. That's intended. And lastly, chapter 10 is in relation to the finalization of the regulation. I think my final official idea attached to generating fights. You didn't want to commit yourself on the department on the time frame of, you know, dealing with the regulation. And I got some concerned as to whether in between the finalization, which doesn't have, you know, the time frame and the commencement of using those regulations, the vacuum. What is happening in the vacuum itself? Because there is a vacuum if these regulations are not now implemented. What is the vacuum? What do you think? So that things should not, you know, go through or between the two guys. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Madam Chair, in the light of what the previous speaker said, he tells me to, and then my primary question is, are there any deadlines that the department is going to set for the passing of this bill, given that it's been in the process since 2003? And also a deadline with regard to when the provinces are going to come up to speed, because I understand that the last to hear that some of the provinces haven't even got databases with regard to the resources, which I was sure is unheard of. What I'm very concerned about is that exactly as a general truth, there is a vacuum. We might start challenging the households in the country is growing exponentially at the moment. It's quite horrendous. And I mean, just that figure alone of 475,000 children in foster care would even double the cost of all that child in the household. So I think at this point we need to put a deadline on it. So I think this is part of the point.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the presentation, you know, they talk about the expansion of ECPs and the registering of the program in the Philippines. If we can just get to understand what actually that means for us. And then the second thing is when we talked about the perspective of the human resource, I think in facing the implementation of this bill and having time frames and support to build, we also expect that there should be a particular organogram that is being followed maybe to assist in provinces and districts in acquiring the sufficient human resources necessary. Do you have maybe an assistance in terms of guiding organograms to the provinces and districts so that when we follow the process of provinces, we are able to see from where they are operating?
Member Mahatir, followed by Member Redboy, and followed by Member Divide of Member Marwe. Yes, and then Member Kunda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think one would be more interested to know the group of the great provinces that already have directed. That's number one. And number two, I just want to actually, because when you go down and do just oversight different, you know, sometimes you find a very specific situation when you come to this issue of foster care. Because sometimes personally I feel like the thing of foster care is like a different. I just want to partner just to give us into foster. How That is why I say sometimes we can use this conception of now the good existence for other individuals. The third point is on the issue of training. This one, to me, I think is very crucial because it's for everybody who wants to have the information. But how is the department going to ensure that even the people from deep rural areas who are exposed to this on daily basis, they get access to this training? Because we are aware that if you go into rural areas, it's where you find people who are committed to do this. When you talk about this, like from health, the dots, they're committed. How do you ensure? What are the steps that the department is taking to ensure that even the rural areas, these rural areas, people get access to that? And also the issue of the NGOs. Not the one thing. The NGOs, most of them, you find them, you know, like in the town, and all that. But when you feel that they are most needed, you don't find them. And I think this also goes back to the issue of intervention, because sometimes myself, I feel that this is better. And under the backdrop, I just want to check, because this issue of secure safety for children in prison is a one thing. And just bring a few there. What are the plans for the department to address that?
My second one is that is related to communication material. I just want to say, is the language policy being taken into consideration with the development of the PET and also the literacy services on the app? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to know, have some clarity on what exactly are the stumbling blocks through the HR? Is it social workers, and what is the composition of your social workers in the different provinces? Thank you.
Questions that will go around the costing of the act. On page 7, the second slide, the costing results reveal that, and then you can read it there, and my problem with my worry is actually around them. Can the department take us through more for information how this will be accommodated when this is.
Are you in the right meeting? Last time you had people who were in the wrong meeting. Okay. We can also just to ask a few questions. One, they also don't forget the new department, newly established department, the Department of Women, Children, the new list of departments that we have to be right now. And also the issues of child trafficking. Yeah. On adoption, I just want to know that whether we have any international adoptions that take place in the country. If we can also be finished with the regulations when they are completed as a committee, if possible, so that we can familiarize ourselves with that in some sense. The forum. Another bullet talks to the forum will continue to tackle all issues relating to the care and protection of children. So the next question. structure, and how often does it meet this forum?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to allow Dr. Lorenzo to deal with the more difficult questions. And she might just need the easier one to go back to the process.
Thank you.
what, because we realize that in answering a question like, you know, why is there disparity in the provinces, why the provinces are not the same in delivering of services, because we've never had nonsense standards for welfare services. So we're developing nonsense standards is going to be targeted to delivering for developing nonsense standards for support from older persons, you know, to children, which we empowerment. By next year this time, I think we'll be implementing those new nonsense standards for the children and the welfare. Promotion of the local adoption, the chapter on adoption, it makes provision in the current legislation does not make provision for provinces ready to participate to deliver adoption services. This new legislation, one of the services that is listed as designated services, it includes adoption. So as provinces have to be involved in adoption, and as a result, they have to popularize adoption at provincial level. They must be students involved. Any adoption that takes place, whether inter-country or national, the provincial office must authorize it in the legislation. What we need to do, we really need to regulate this and ensure that all the essential workers we are delivering on the services regarding adoption are properly trained and accredited. Because adoption is not a public health service. We need to be fully informed about the processes and what we are actually doing. Because of taking a child with a family to manage is different from foster care, which is reduced every 3 years and so on. With adoption is forever, it's like that child is your own children. So you need to ensure that child will be looked after by that family. And with adoption, there are issues of child trafficking. People at times adopt children so that they can trust them. That's why we're so very strict with infrastructure adoption, finding things where people adopt a child from where they get to another country, they use that child to transfer the child to another city. So you need to ensure the child can have to make sure that you have good information about that person in that country, they are vetted by that country before you can really move the child to that community. And so currently developing a strategy for local adoption. We want to encourage our participants to adopt their own children. And we are also looking at measures that we can put in place. Just maybe incentives. I know the DC and our particular title is saying we must first ensure that people have been checked in adopting children before we can even provide them with incentives. But for families who are they can access the child support plan, you know, and other grants to ensure that they're able to maintain that child. Turning off provinces and stakeholders. Yes, the provinces I think will take responsibility of this training, and they also are planning for the overall training of everyone in the province in the that specific training, even at rural and in rural areas. All stakeholders and even CDOs that are delivering services to children at local level or at a ward level. The disparity in funding, why was the disparity? Especially, I think I addressed it through the development of nonsense standards that we see the normalization of funding of services and being away with the disparity. But we currently we've got a policy on financial awards, which also regulates the way in which we should fund NGOs. But because it's not a legislation, you know, not all provinces adhere to it. And you find that one province will fund this specific service at one level and another province at a different level. So we are intending to, at the moment, we are reviewing that policy so that we can develop legislation. longer a man, but you know, then you find that after what you can come from coming to being funding NGO. The Child Care Protection Forum that is played role as internet, I think currently it's a new forum that we developed last year. Currently this forum is helping us to really prepare to have all these necessary tools and documents that we have to implement the Children's Act. I think we'll really see the real role and the important role of this forum when it starts with the implementation of the legislation, because it has to assist us to monitor. It is at national level currently, and the intention is that it should sustain also to provincial level. At provincial level, we've got a number of forums for children. We've got the Child Protection Forum, and most provinces are thinking that they should expand the Child Protection Forum so that they take the form of this forum, which is at a national level at the moment. So we are waiting very hard in the forum so that it has to be presented and that it has to be done to the level where it's needed. I think we can also answer the question about the regulation. The fact that we don't have databases, most provinces do have some databases, but the new legislation requires new databases. For example, Title Care, the CPA database. The NASA, the database for all DCDs, all vocational charges. These are the new requirements in the legislation. And it means that they must update what they have, what they currently have. The organogram, we've taken this note as that, because I think it is true that different provinces have got different organograms, which they have developed just to meet their own needs in accordance to the resources that they have. And last week when we went to Eastern Cape, we found that they've got an organogram that they have adopted from the coaching of the Children's Act. The Children's Act provided an organogram for provinces and for national. At national level, we adopted to get the results in community, the city, and the change with five directives. But the problem is that when you go to the provinces, you don't have those resources. You find the city directors calling at national health care and a deputy director at the provincial level. So there is that report, and but we will provide you the organizer that we have recommended through the question of the case. For section, the number of children. The provinces that have got direction is Eastern Cape, Northwest, and Quebec.
The only one, my dear. It works.
agreement with SASSA that, you know, they have to make exception for those children. So for that specific setup. But we also have the foresight care we have talked about. And as you in the new legislation, the new legislation would make provision for cluster foresight care, where an organization can, for example, have 10 cluster foresight care, and with each cluster they have 6 children. So then one organization can have 60 children in foresight care, but clusters in 10. Where they have an adult looking after those children. It makes it easier, it even makes it easier for the department because that organization and it's responsible for those children. When it comes to time for review every 2 years, they review them, they provide a department with the information. But that cluster for such things must be registered to the department and must be the training, I think that's that faith learning important must be, you know, we must make sure that people accept that mindset. We will try that and we ensure that the government also make provision for it. I think what is important is maybe the CDOs, the community based organization. The fact that the NGOs are not where they are most needed is true. Most of our NGOs are in the urban areas. But in the rural areas now, and in communities that were previously disadvantaged, you'll find that there are community-based organizations, especially those community-based organizations that are delivering services to often to people affected by HIV, they want these children as well. Fortunately, the new legislation makes provision for the registration of those CDOs because they are designated child care protection services. Prevention and early intervention is a must in the new legislation, so it has to be funded, and anyone who delivers those services must be registered. So the department will start registering those CDOs that are delivering services to children in any form, so that we are also able to monitor and check what is going on in the community, and that they're using a right-based child-based approach and they're delivering the legislation accordingly. So I think that will address that is very true in terms of the availability of NGOs. And we also need to address, as a department, the capacity building of those NGOs, because you find the CDOs, they are willing, they are people at community level, but they have not capacitated to manage, even to manage their own funds if they are funded by government. Secure care, what are we doing about it? The secure care is addressed both by, you know, these are child and youth care centers that teach children who are away from child or are in conflict with their dog. Instead, the current expands the services that will be delivered in social care. Also, for children with behavior problems, that will be provided with social care services. Currently, the children who are in conflict with the law, their needs are addressed through the Child Justice Act, which is just been passed late last year. And through that Child Justice Act, the department must make sure that it's got sufficient services and facilities for children away from child and children who are in conflict with the law. But for now, I think as a department, we are covered. What we need to do is to ensure that the magistrates make use of these facilities because they don't deserve it for them. And we always need to make sure that those facilities are fully utilized. Of course, you might find that in the rural areas, you don't have to take your facilities and you need to transport it for long distance to the nearest situation. The problem is that make sure that the existing areas where there's a high level of crime, particularly among children. The language and communication
as a department, we always make sure that all our counselors are provided for in the 11 languages of South Africa. So that is covered, and in the children's act, we make sure that that is happening. The only thing that we have not done is to the DVD, because giving to the DVD 11, unless it is for subtitles, I think we should make provisions for the subtitles in the DVD. What is the stumbling block in relation to the human resources? Once the services in general and services to children were severely underfunded. You remember there were days when the budget for social grants and for social services were combined with the department. And always social grants always took prominence, and you know, they'll be funded at 80%, in some 60-90%. The little funds that were remaining were then allocated to welfare services. So welfare services was always disadvantaged. And at the current year, we are trying to build up the tech structure right now, you know, running separately from the department, although the budget is still within the department. So it's taking quite some time to make sure that we improve. And like the whole organism of the different provinces means that they need to change so that they align themselves with the new services that are being delivered in the department. It's also, I think it happens mainly in provinces that have joined this hack. You find welfare services get very, very minimum, you know, as budget, and the rest of them, because health is provided as a life and death measure, so most of the funding goes to us, and very little. Yesterday we were even talking in the first, it's a very discouraging. We're working together with the new department of women and disability and children, and we've already presented the similar presentation to them so that we can identify their role in the system. I think in general, their role is more in the main children's act. So they will help us to implement them. We have an inter-country, although we don't have the legislation, in 2000, the department was put order to deliver inter-country adoption. So we acceded to the Hague Convention on inter-country adoption in 2003, and we have also made provisions for that chapter in the New Children's Act, but we are delivering international adoption services even though the Act is not in operation. We're working in cities already in operation. We're already establishing contact with the different countries and having contact with them, and the different organizations accrediting different organizations that are being contacted with them. The children don't just need our order anymore. Before the international adoption can be signed off, we have to approve of
it. Do we have the names of the countries we have?
Yes, we do. We can send them to the forum is permanent, and the forum on health and protection is a permanent forum, and it's provided for in the legislation between 4 and 5 of the Children's Act.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question relating to the department not being not committing itself to specific countries. What I said to you that from the department, which by the end of this month, we'll finalize the regulation of trafficking and everything that we need to do. I said I could not mention a specific date, Chair, because we still have what I also forgot to mention, Chen, there's a chapter on Chen, because which chapter is the responsibility of the Department of Justice? The Department of Justice has indicated that it does have challenges around the implementation of that chapter. And there's supposed to be a meeting between our DG and our minister, with the DG of Justice and the Minister of Justice, to see what it is that they want to do to ensure that justice does their part. In a case where justice may not be ready to implement, this is the time frame that we would have had in mind. I think what we may have to do then is to go back to the drawing board and say maybe we need to leave certain things, of certain sections of the Act out, because justice will not be ready to implement them. And that chapter four, which is the responsibility of justice, does have an effect on certain parts or sections, chapters of the Act, like the first section. For example, because it has to be done through a court, and the civil court, which is a responsibility of justice. And if justice has not put regulations in place, it may affect certain parts of the act and the regulation in particular. So we may have to do certain things out. And I think that's the only way in which you can try and deal with the virtue, is to try and bring into operation certain parts of the act, and then deal with those which we have not been able to put into operation in time. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. I think my colleagues have dealt with all the questions that have been posed. I just wish to embellish the point made on the promotion of local adoption. This is one area where we will then to wish to invest the support of the next committee. There are certain risks in various sections of our community. African people generally are very reluctant to adopt. There are certain stereotypes of the cultural nature which we may need to deal with. When we talk about getting South Africans to adopt their own children, we're not referring to children born of themselves, meaning parents adopting their own children. But we're talking about South Africans adopting South African children in order to stem the tide of South African children being adopted by people from outside the country. And that we can do if South Africans see not only the need but the responsibility to adopt South African children. Among African people in particular, there are certain traditional practices which are seen to stand in the way of people adopting children, which is something we would need to do. We would need to unpack what those practices are, demystify some of those things, because they stand in the way of other South Africans being in a position to assist children who are in great need of their support. But you also have other sections of the South African population that are willing and able to adopt, especially among the white population. But the tendency is to move outside from it. We have lots of children being adopted from Kazakhstan, from formerly Eastern European countries, and so on. And not the other children that are in great need. I'm talking about children even from within the same sections of those population groups. This is something we need to take head of as government, but also as parliament. We would need your assistance in popularizing this campaign. And unless we do that, we will continue to see many South African children being adopted elsewhere. And the conventions that we have now acceded to would prevent us from refusing refusing children being given in for international or inter-country adoption, unless there are good reasons for that. And we would like to think that the best reason for us would be that there are South Africans that are available to adopt the children. that unless there is so a lot of them are really unable to adopt this training, only then will we be able to give them up for intercultural adoption. But then we need South Africans to be willing and able, and in fact many of them are. The Children's Act, as a character says, historically, only people with certain financial means were able to adopt and were permitted to adopt under the law. That limitation has been removed. In the Children's Act, you don't have to be gainfully employed. You don't have to be rich to adopt. You only need the heart and the ability to rear a child to adopt them. And the state will then look at whether it is able to assist you in that endeavor. So we need good citizenship. It's something we hope the committee can assist us in cultivating.
Our oversight in ensuring that we popularize
election issue when it's necessary. And I think we need more information or statements that will elaborate on the subject so that when we interact with communities, we know exactly what we're talking about on the subject. And also the... we will keep on interacting on all the subjects that you're singling them out now when we interact with the department when the time is right. And I would like to go to the next presentation, which will be the children's issue game. What can we do?
Thank you. Good morning again, chairperson and members and visitors. I'm going to be giving you a very broad rather than exhaustive list of child protection programs that we as a provincial department have in this province. Excluded from our presentation is substance abuse programs, although we do have programs specifically directed at children. And also excluded from the presentation is services to children in conflict with the law, because we would have heard earlier on that this is dealt with in terms of the Child Justice Act as well as the Probation Services Act, even though the new Children's Act does have a reference to it. Okay. I want to just say, Chairperson, by way of introduction, the way in which we deliver any and all of our services is on what we call a continuum of four levels of intervention. And these are, the first level would be awareness and prevention. The second level would be early intervention. The third level would be statutory. And the fourth level would be aftercare and reintegration services. So regardless of the service, whether we are working with older persons, whether we are working with youth, whether we are working with sustainable livelihoods or with children, that is the approach that we take to all of our programs. Okay, going now to some of the child protection programs. We have statutory social work services that's provided by 132 child protection organizations and our own 16 districts. They deal with a range of statutory things, such as your foster care, adoptions, and so on, but more recently also issues of commercial sexual exploitation of children, child labor, work with refugees, all of those things that's in the Act, and that quite frankly, up until very recently, we haven't been. But we are now being involved. I also wanted to say that we have been unfortunate in this province. We had a little bit of money, and so we were able to invest in training of our own social workers as well as the social workers of the non-governmental organization, and we have in fact trained over 1,000 social workers and child and youth care workers in just understanding the new Children's Act and what it means for them, the implications for practice. We have also been fortunate enough to develop a 25-minute DVD that takes key pieces of the Act and explains it in a way that people can understand. And we're very happy to have members have a copy of that DVD. The second program, and can I just say these programs are not ranked in order of priority. Simply as it occurred to us when we were doing the presentation. We fund and monitor 1,001 early childhood development programs as well as 70 after-school care programs. And these include services that
Now, I want to say here that a few years ago, our budget for early childhood development, or ECD, was just over 30 million. Within the space of a few years, the budget is almost 150 million. Now, that has been a massive increase. And I think it says one thing about this government, that it is prepared to invest in children. It takes a very developmental view that if we get things right for children, you can build a new citizen, the kind of citizen that you want to see in the future. But it is also in part due to a national decision supported by the then president of massification of early childhood development. The downside I want to say, because while all of this is fabulous changes, there are a couple of things that we do have to watch out for. We must get children into early childhood development programs, but we must also be sure that the quality is good. We cannot simply treat the numbers. It has to be balanced with a good quality. Somebody asked a question earlier on about the program. Unless the program is good, we also see early childhood development as a stepping stone to lifelong learning. Unless the program is of a very high quality, there is not really going to be that stepping stone to lifelong learning. But then I'm pleased to say that we are training ECD practitioners so that we can improve the quality of athletes within an ECD center, and we are also training new learners. Okay, then we have, based on the Gauteng model, we have a child poverty program that we call our Bana Family program. Currently, it started last year. Currently being piloted in the Cape Winery and the Central Karoo, and there we work very closely with the Department of Health, the Department of Education, the Department of Agriculture in the Central Karoo, and we also work with all the local municipalities. It is linked to the War on Poverty program as well, and so we are profiling households as we go along. For example, in the Cape Winery, we have profiled 11,000 families. And if we pick up, for example, whether the child is going to be negative, we pick up whether the child is going to school, we pick up whether the child is linked to the ECDC. Health insurance refers children to us that are malnourished, so we can link that child to a community nutrition program. Okay, then we have, I spoke earlier on about the levels. We have a number of public awareness programs aimed at deepening the response to not only child maltreatment, but also understanding the act. One of the challenges that we have in our province, and I think the member who has left now spoke about her concerns around the motives of people who want to foster. Chairperson, it is unfortunately so that almost all of our work lends itself to people's entrepreneurial spirit. If you are entrepreneurial, you will go and establish an NGO. Might well be a suitcase NGO, you and your father in the garage, but you are able to register it as an NGO. So part of the public awareness is to actually educate people. You cannot simply just go and start the children's home as and where you like. You cannot simply just go and start an ECD facility as and where you like. The new act also requires us to have a level of skill and competence, otherwise we might actually be more hard than good. So it's that kind of public awareness, but we have also been raised throughout our program to hold community dialogue in all of our communities, where we ask ordinary members of the public to respond to the children's act, and then there are things like family expos and so on. We've got early intervention programs for children, particularly between the ages of 12 and 18, because we find that that's the most vulnerable group. Okay, and then we've got family preservation programs. Some of these things are a little bit different than others. We have also, up until now, trained 350 what we call safe home parents, or sometimes also known as safety parents. We not only train them, but we also support them. And they provide emergency placement for children. If you need situation that is harmful to the child, in that emergency parent will open their door.
Mm-hmm.
And can I also just say that the emergency parents are vetted, so that it's not the local ground dealers who are also acting as the emergency parents. So we work closely with SAP and community safety in terms of getting out there. We have a provincial child protection committee, which consists of all our provincial departments, but also national departments such as labor, because we're dealing with issues of child labor. The Department of Justice would be on that committee as well. And then we've got them in our 16 district offices, and what we're now trying to do, and it is a challenge, but we're trying to devolve these to local level, so that in every neighborhood we have a child protection committee. We have alternative care programs, and these include foster care, adoption that has been spoken about, at length here, placement in what we call temporary safe care facilities, and also placement in child and youth care centers. And just as a matter of interest, this is what we know of. Now, can I mention the entrepreneurial spirit? There is hardly a day goes by that we do not hear of yet another unregistered facility, and it's a major challenge. But at the moment, we have 35 in our province, 35 registered children's homes, 8 shelters, 10 dropping centers, 4 temporary safe care facilities. We have almost 30,000 children in foster care, and the number of children who have been adopted is 204. The one thing I want to say about this is that our resources are not necessarily in the areas we want them to be. And this is for part of the historical legacy that we are dealing with. I can, for example, tell you there isn't a single residential facility for children in the central area. But you come to the metro, and everybody wants to start a service in the metro, because it's lovely to work in the metro. It's close to the shopping centers, it's easy, you know, in terms of transportation and so on. On the other hand, if we want people to go to deep rural areas, we must make it possible financially for people to go. So it's simply not good enough to say that people don't want to go to rural areas. There's very often no infrastructure in rural areas. And so we need to factor in the cost if we want people to do that. Okay, we have in all of our districts a 24-hour service for child abuse and neglect, and then we have independent living programs. The issue of child-aided households has come up. We have programs for children who are infected and affected. In fact, we have in all of our 16 district offices, we have psychosocial support groups, but particularly for children experiencing loss and grief. And then we've got a couple of other programs for HIV and AIDS. And the last slide is on our budget. The budget for child care and protection for 2008-09, $295 million. 2009-10, $359 million. And I am very pleased to say to people that in 10-11, it should move to 359, should become 386. Unless by some negative sort of miracle, if one day comes in, it's like a negative miracle, there is a decision taken that they will cut out indicative allocation, and then in the outer year, we should see that increase from the 386 million, we should see that increase to 440 million. So the news for child care and protection is good in that we are beginning to see a steady increase in that part. Chairperson, I will leave it at that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ma'am. So, Mr. Chairperson, as you will understand, the voice of the committee council in terms of trustee for the presentation that the committee is a case concern when it saw a number of child negative abuse from children in action plans, safety plans, and also ensuring that the community understands the issues that or plans that are aimed at ensuring that children are protected in our society and community. So I will allow the members to interact with the community.
In October of this year, because of the concern with what is happening with our children in the problem, in October this year there will be a summit to deal with this matter. We have in the run up to the summit, in fact it will be I think the 15th and the 16th of October, the Thursday and the Friday. It is a priority for the Premier, and it is also a priority for our MC, Dr. Ivan Williams. In the run-up to the summit, we have just completed now focus groups for children, as well as kind of dialogue with parents, because we want the voices of the children to be heard at the summit, and we want the voices of the parents to be heard at that summit. It cannot simply be government. But one of the things we've realized, chairperson, and we commissioned research on children in our program, is that 80% of the abuse happens within the home, within the community, by the perpetrator known to the family. And it's very difficult for government to police what happens within the home. And so we do need community and families as partners if we are going to win this battle. And so those are some of the things that the summit will do.
I hope you won't forget the first committee to invite it to the summit. Honorable Minister, good night. I hope I won't forget you. Every time I look at you, I sit on that. Honorable Divilia, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. Stephen, I just want to find out rural development is part of the focus area during this term of this administration. And we are currently putting in place regional infrastructure in rural area. And people come to where they not content where they go to, but they come to the metro for better opportunities and exposure. So are you thinking of a strategy to reach out to those rural areas, to do awareness and advocacy, because these child might not be known as child abuse. You have a strategy of getting there, whereas in the long run we are budgeting the infrastructure. The second one is on what the chairperson has identified. There is 24-hour intervention here in some of the business. I'm not sure whether you will see on TV children being abducted and killed. Are your 24 hours also being targeted? And the community may be having that awareness that if they see me then, if they don't know me, and going with a child, then I'm afraid. Alarming bell. So do you have you identified those key areas where every time we have this area, we just see the helicopter looking for the child and the child will be there. Where's the family to be there, but to need some stronger intervention to try and carry it, I don't know, how to involve the community and the Operation Paper. Thank you. ladies in your research have you tried to do the research what causes this attacking of children which leads to the killing? With only rape or it's more than that?
I'm actually concentrating on the literacy and numeracy problems here, not in other problems, but especially in the missing case. And I believe that the ECD can play a very important role in the upgrading of the problems in the school. Is there any interest between the Department of Social Services on the ECG side and the Department of Education in the foundation and what programs programs are they taking?
In other and
he or she can pick up the phone, and Shannon will then step in and render what needs to be rendered at after the 4 o'clock kind of deadline. But next to that, we recently, for example, conducted a door-to-door campaign in Dallas. And we have 27 what we call powers areas. These are the areas that we are really concerned about. And they have been designated priority areas because these are the areas that have extremely high crime rates. Crimes of adults, but also crimes of children, and overlays into that is also the high poverty index. So it's no coincidence that most of those areas also happen to be the poorest areas. So we tend to focus on the 27 priority areas, but in Jobs, for example, when we were creating awareness, we invited all councillors to come along with us, so that the councillors become part of our 24-hour service. The councillors are also part of the and very often will identify for us people who can become safety parents, or will monitor the safety parents as they are. Don't even know this. This is not good news. So the councils play for us a very important role and are our eyes and ears on this. The message that we're trying to do, and we are aware that many people, the levels of literacy are low. So it's not enough to go and drop a pamphlet in somebody. We've got to go, and that's why the door-to-door campaign is important. The message that we're trying to get across to all communities is that your child is my child. You've got to look after your child, after my child, as you would look after your own child, and I've got to do the same. But, chairperson and members, I must say to you, it's the kind of thing that you've got to do again and again. Public awareness is not something that you can do now, and then decide again next year, I'm going to go with it. If you want the message to resonate, you've got to do it again and again and again in a language that people can understand, using literacy levels that people can understand, and whether that, and we've experimented with older persons, for example, with theatre, okay, where you literally go and act out. We're looking at comic books and so on. We're looking at talking books. So those are all the methodologies that we are looking at. On the issue of rural development, we have district offices, and then we've also got some local offices. But in Oudtshoorn, Rhodes, Botterdam, Vredendaal, Vredenburg, Caledon, and all the public awareness and education programs that we have, we take to the rural areas. We make a point of going to rural areas. So whether you might find an NGO is not that happy to go to a rural area, as a government department, we absolutely have to go there, and we do. You will again appreciate, and it is a bigger problem, and we've got to recognize it. We are under resourced. So to go to Botterdam, that's 4.5 hours. Now you can fly to George, but you still have to rent a car and drive the other 150 kilometers. So you can't go as readily to Botterdam as you would go, say, to Kylie Trent in Botterdam. And it's also got to do with resources. But fortunately, we've got an office in Botterdam, we've got an office in Oudtshoorn, and so we train people here to go and take the message out there. What causes the abduction of children? We know, we have a good handle on what causes child maltreatment. We have not specifically commissioned research on what causes people to abduct. There is anecdotal evidence. We are looking together with our NEC at, we are looking at what further research to be commissioned. And this might be something that we can take into account. But the anecdotal evidence says to us a lot of this is about anger and revenge and getting my own back. And really about power.
Okay, what's the member of the school thinking of other questions? Okay, yeah, you must consider that as a recommendation from the committee, the commissioning of a research on the abduction of children. We really appreciate that. And also,
current programs that you have. I think to some extent the current programs are not yielding the expected outcome that we want to see happening on the ground as here. We need to have aggressive programs that will definitely make an impact in dealing with the children that live in this province. We would really appreciate to see that. I hope that the summit will also address those issues in coming up with aggressive programs in the future. And also the issue of the Banapili Child Poverty Program, I'm just wondering to what extent is this linked to the anti-poverty strategy that was launched by the former deputy president. And if you can
Transform the program is in fact directly linked to the anti-poverty program that was launched recently. I think this particular focus is just on child poverty. But the war on poverty, the anti-poverty program requires us to do household profiling. We have now been given the number of wards and the number of households that we need to profile in this province. And so that is the link between this. When we started with the child poverty program, we in fact went about doing the household profiling. We initially did 17,000 households in the Cape Winelands, but the questionnaires were also subjected to a rigorous review, and now that they have been cleaned up, they have been brought down to 11,000 households. We are still busy in the central Karoo. In the central Karoo, I can just say to you that we are profiling in 11 areas, and that would be your Merrillville and your Murrayburg and your Prince Albert Road and Lanesburg and both the West itself. I've got 11 written down somewhere. Right there. So we're going through all of that. I think just on the issue of the aggressiveness, I think one of the challenges that we have, and we really don't know how, now we know that 80% of the abuse is by a known perpetrator. Major challenge that we have is very often the collusion on the part of the family with the perpetrator. Because very often the perpetrator is my son, it is my partner, it is my boyfriend, it is my husband. It is my neighbor's child. Very often the perpetrator is also the main source of income. It is what the rest of the family needs to survive. And those are the challenges. We have actually had women saying to us that they subject their children to rape. And they know about it. Because the payoff is the rest of the family. So I think these really are the challenges, and how we get it is how we change that mindset, and how you get people not to protect the perpetrator when the perpetrator is a family member. And my thoughts of this stuff.
Thanks for listening. Any other comments, members?
Thanks very much for the response and the presentation that you've made to. Yeah, we will keep on having this kind of interaction on this matter so that you can understand much more better. And you can be able to do our oversight work that we're expected to do by the parliament. And take the opportunity of thanking the delegation led by the DC for social development and the organization of the assistance and also the colleagues and the Westminster legislature for honoring this meeting. I hope that this kind of interaction
this is not your last meeting, and you've also enjoyed this meeting, and you've been able to capture some few issues of interest to you. And I don't know how are you going to feedback to us in terms of advising the committee. I don't know whether that's at any stage in time, if you as the committee, but we're interested to hear your views on those matters, also the committee, but we will try and establish some kind of a forum or meeting with you or something. And that's what we
No, I